Well, of course, the first thing I must say is good morning. Now, we'll put that aside. Second thing I want to say is, guys, your bass abilities are tremendous in the singing. And music is a gift of God. And I guess if I had the right location, I was getting the sound there, but also coming in from the back, and I compliment you for your use of the gift, the beauty that God has given us in music. It's tremendous. Yeah, I'm a little nervous. Not a stranger to a lot of you, and stranger than some of you, I guess. Now, I use the notes, and I realized this morning, I use them because memory isn't what it used to be, and I can't remember it all, so it's there to refer to. And then I realized this morning, at men's breakfast yesterday, they asked me to say some things, and I won't say his gift, but Bob's ability to talk got going, and so these will help me to stay on topic. What I share with you today is not an admonition and a strong preach. This is the way you need to go. It's an encouragement, but it's something that's a portion of scripture that I worked on earlier, and as I went into it, it's short. I think eight, nine words, but as I went into it, the depth, that's what I want to share. It's not perfect, and probably not a complete message, but it sure opened my eyes. You might have insights beyond what I have, and so share them at some time. But we are all disciples, we're all learners, and so we travel together. So the title for today is Living in a Monarchy. Right, okay. Canada, our nation, is a federal parliamentary constitutional monarchy. What? Okay, it's a democracy where the king is head of the state and we have an elected parliament and prime minister that do the governing. What? Well, let's try this. We have two anthems, and I would ask, when's the last time you sang one of them? In fact, to the young people, the challenge is, do you even know them? When we were younger, us gray hairs, we sang them a lot. We have O Canada, and we have our royal anthem, God Save the King. We grew up with them, and as I looked at it, I realized they're both prayers. We won't go into that in depth. So we'll focus in a bit. Kingdom, a place where a king holds power and rules. In our Bible, Jesus is described as prophet and priest and king. And so today we'll focus on the kingdom of heaven. Am I close enough to this you can hear? We're okay? All right, I wander a bit. We'll talk about the kingdom of heaven, our king, Jesus, and speak on our relationship with him, and that's maybe core in this. I'd like first to put this into context. I find when I went to the Sunday school class, I've never been there, and I heard about it and going, wow, this really connects in. But so much of what you are studying there is putting the whole of our story into context. So in Matthew, at the beginning, we'll be looking at a verse from Matthew 4. But we have first the genealogy and birth of Jesus Christ, and then the next thing Matthew talks about is a visit from the Magi, and it's neat to know this was the first time that Christ was revealed to the Gentiles, to us, actually before he was revealed to the Jews in some ways. God said, hey, you guys, they were looking for a king, and we're told he who has been born king of the Jews. Then we move on. There's their escape to Egypt, the killing of the children, the death of Herod, and then Jesus returns with his family to Nazareth. And that's about all we hear in Matthew until John the Baptist begins his ministry. There is in Luke that portion where Jesus remains back at the temple and that, but that's in Luke. And he says, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? But other than that, and in Matthew, we have the return to Nazareth and then John the Baptist. He begins to preach. Hold it, aren't we talking about Christ? John the Baptist begins to preach, Matthew says. And he's in the desert and saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, then he baptizes Jesus. Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit descends, and one of the few times in Scripture, the voice of God is heard and quoted. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Then Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the desert, and he faces challenges and the invitations of Satan. And we started to allude to that, not to allude, to talk about that in Sunday school. And he's challenged, and he responds each time with Scripture, God's Word. And finally, in the last one, he tells Satan to go away. And I was thinking about that. Was that a request? Or was it an order? You think about it. I kind of lean to the second one. So for today, I'd like to look at Matthew chapter 4. And it's when Jesus begins his ministry. Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. For those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them the light has dawned. And then, verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A short little line, but as I studied it, so full. We've all heard it before, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We've heard it many times in our lives. And in fact, in the readings today, it was John the Baptist. It wasn't a new idea. Yes, he's beginning his ministry, but not with a brand new thought. There is newness. There is fulfillment that he brings. So we're going to look very briefly at three parts. Repent, the kingdom of heaven, and at hand. When I started this section, it was a lot shorter, because after all, we're looking at one word, repent. That shouldn't take too much. Oh yeah. If you go to the dictionary, a contemporary English dictionary, of which we have many, one of the descriptions was feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. Yeah, I remember growing up with that. Maybe a little more accurate growing up was feel bad about doing bad and, oh, by the way, you need to stop. And that was what I understood repentance. It was that part of quitting the bad stuff. One of my favorite authors, Packer, puts it this way. It's changing your mind. The New Testament word for repentance means changing one's mind so that one's view, values, goals, and ways are changed. That one's whole life ends up being lived differently. Repent, rather than feeling bad, actually means turning. Turning from one way of thinking and living to a different way. And importantly, turning the right way. Now, if I was new to this area and I said, I want to go to Grand Prairie. I've heard about this Grand Prairie. I'd like to get there. And you said, well, just go out to the highway and turn there and you'll get right to Grand Prairie. And I go out to the highway and I turn to my left. At some point along the road, I'm going to think there's something, I'm not there. Well, why am I not there? Why didn't I make it to Grand Prairie by turning left? Wrong direction. I went the wrong way. And that's a strong aspect of repentance. As I was reviewing this, I ran across an article that said, or its title was, "What did Jesus mean by repent?" Well, one thing I would say is he didn't speak English. He didn't use the word repent. Quite probably he used a Jewish word, and I'm not well in this, a Hebrew word, teshuvah. And it comes from the meaning to return. Not just to turn around, but to return. To turn away from darkness and go back toward the light. And we sang much of that this morning about turning to the light. And it brings memories, a camp trip where we did a pack trip and we got lost during the day in a burn and we were just totally logs all over. How do we even get out of this, let alone get back to camp? And so we were ready to settle down for the night and someone felt a trail and we followed it for a while. And then back at the camp, one of the men was wearing a headlamp. He turned because he heard horses and he looked and we all saw this little tiny bead of light, and the peace that poured into us was amazing. Turn away from the darkness and go back towards the light. It was not a new idea. The Old Testament prophets were full of it. Joel 2:12. "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart." Now, if we look at the Jewish history, we see that they had a history of going the wrong way over and over. They needed to turn around and go back to God. So this concept of repent was not new when Jesus preached it, but it was still vitally important. Another illustration that Packer gives about what we could call repentance, he says, think of the military. You have a group of soldiers, they're at attention, and the instruction is about face, forward march. Oh, they were looking that way, and now they're going that way. Repentance, to turn around, to go the right way. It's more than stopping a bad behavior. It's more than being sorry. It's more than apologizing. It's to move away from our vices and our wrongdoing and go in the opposite direction. So if you're going the opposite direction of wrongdoing, would that not put you into right doing? And it's not just the goal of doing right. It's but who are you headed towards? It's a continuous decision to return to God. And that's what they were called in the Old Testament. Return. Return to your God. Start over. Receive a new beginning. Start a new life. Could even be the term, be born again. Turning to Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so, a few points on this. It is far more than just being sorry for sin. It's a call to action. But that action can only be accomplished through the help of the Holy Spirit. It's turning back to God's original plan, the right way. It's living in relationship with Him, willingly living under His authority, under His guidance, under His leadership.
but as well living in fellowship with him. And that's a huge additional part. Repentance is also ongoing. Think of the following. I'm not saying that any of you are guilty of this. Distracted driving. Or walking across the yard and doing five other things and then forgetting what you came for. And I'm not pointing at anyone in here. I'm speaking for myself on that. Breaking old habits. That can be an ongoing thing. Dealing with addictions. So repentance and going the right way is ongoing. But when should we do it? Well, any time is a good time. Forgiveness is always available. In that thought, I thought about the prodigal son. God was ready, his father was ready to take him back at any time. And what is the father doing when the son returns? Exploding in joy. I woke up this morning pondering this a little bit. Where's Jake? Is he up here? There. When we were at breakfast the other day, yesterday, he had your little girl with you. And I thought about that. Repentance is going the Father's way. We talked about the joy here. As parents, we see things in our little ones. We see the inability to do things. They just can't do it. Or as they come to the time of two, the refusal to do things and desire to go their own direction. I don't know if anyone identifies with that. Maybe it was just my kids. I don't know. But we also start to see the doing of good things, the doing of right things. And as they grow older and mature, periodically we see that happen. And what's our reaction when we see our child engage in what is right with no pushing from us? It just comes from within them. What is our reaction? I would suggest it's joy. I think about times when you see that and wow, they're there. And with our Father, what must it be like when he sees us growing in the right direction? I want to read you a quote on a third point here. It's phrased better than I can say it. There is one more element that always accompanied Jesus' ministry. It applied to a crippled man, a Samaritan, the woman caught in adultery, a rich man, and every other person who sought Jesus' help. They were met with forgiveness, but also an instruction, and this hit me, sin no more. Teshuvah, turn around, return to me. So if repentance means returning, then instead of dreading it, it can become the most beautiful experience for every believer. Instead of dark and uncomfortable, it can be a great expectation. Repentance was the first thing that Jesus called for. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The New Living Translation phrases it, turn from your sins and turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near. So if we repent, the result of that action is entering into the kingdom. So part two, the kingdom of heaven. Matthew uses the term the kingdom of heaven. Much of other scripture talks about the kingdom of God. From what I could gather, I might be wrong, but they essentially mean the same thing. Now, a kingdom, this is where as Canadians we know the word, and that might be where we run out. The kingdom is an area, it's a location, it's a realm where the king holds power. He's the only ruler. He rules for life, and he holds supreme power and authority. and I would quietly suggest as Canadians we might not be that comfortable. Although we're Canadians and we have a king, I don't think we comprehend kingdom. We live in a democracy where everyone has a say. To live under total, second story. Many years ago, my family and I spent a year, 9 months in Nigeria. I was teaching school there. Side note, over there, that man with the long beard was about 6 months old when we met. And he was one of those children who was so fair and light-skinned and that, and blonde. And one day we had an opportunity to go out to visit some pygmies in the bush. They had a breakdown on the tire, so they looked at us rather than us looking at them. But I still remember a scene. There was forest, it was hot, we had just a diaper on, and that was light, so here's this little super light tunnel walking down the road right beside a little pygmy child. The same size, totally dark. And that still sticks out to me. I haven't attended a forest before.
If you smile when you see him, that's sorry, I get it. Oh yeah, back to Nigeria.
I met people in the streets and would talk to them about their governance and that, because we had a country there that one time was a British member of the British Empire, but Britain had pulled back and now they were trying to be independent, and you could see the decline all over. And I realized as I talked, they understood tribalism. They understood having a chief and following instructions. They didn't understand having a say, so they pursued their own best interests and it wasn't working. And I thought how the best thing these people could have, and perhaps all of us, is a benevolent dictator, one who told them all things to do. Problem was, where do you find a benevolent dictator? Well, it's possible. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. Where is that? Well, that's where God rules. Where the king is, that is his domain. And Jesus is saying, hey guys, it's here, it's at hand. Jesus, as our ruler, is eternal and all good. And as a result, we have hope for the future and hope for life. Now, that wasn't what Israel was expecting or even wanting. They wanted to do away with the Romans. We know that. We're familiar with that idea here. But the kingdom of God was not set for that. Now, the kingdom of God is where he rules. He rules now. He ruled 2,000 years ago, and indeed, he ruled back in the beginning. Where sin is no more, that changes the past kingdoms. And it's where his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. A realm of grace where his will is done that we request so often. Because the kingdom is where the king rules, it's not just a spiritual realm somewhere up there. It's here on earth as well. It is where Jesus has authority. Remember, Satan was defeated at the resurrection. While Jesus was still with his disciples, he speaks and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. There is our King, the one with all authority. He was with them in his spiritual body, his physical body. He was glorified. Ascended to heaven in that body, and he is going to return and finish establishing that kingdom and remove all evil. This is what he's saying. It's at hand. Well, is he going to do it totally or partly? I'd vote for total eventually. But one of the things I would encourage you to hold on to at all times, at the end of Matthew, he says, I am with you always. So even when it stinks around you, he is there for you. The kingdom is not just a place. It is a relationship between people, us, and Jesus as our Lord and King. And just a little side note, as I looked at, Lord, we're focusing on kingdom. I read about lordship, and it means all authority. But what I didn't realize is lordship also means ownership, that we are his servants. He owns us. There's some beauty in that. I won't go longer on that. So repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom's not just an idea, it's a way of life. It's a matter of worshiping, loving, working. There's a lot we could say about the kingdom of God. Fear God, keep his commandments, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly. One of the last things Jesus said was, teach them to obey my commandments. So it is a way of life, and it is with us now. It's at hand. At hand means to draw near. It's close. It's imminent. But it's not just a statement. It's a sense of urgency. Eugene, there's a snake right underneath your chair, and it's getting ready to bite your ankle. I'd say that would bring some urgency. The thought that Jesus uses when he says, repent, is because the kingdom is happening now. Get into it. At hand. Jesus was there with him. So if Jesus is king, and the kingdom is where he reigns, then that was there at that point. The kingdom was in their midst. The king, in fact, was in their midst, walking with them. If we said earlier, God's sovereign rule on earth as in heaven, well, it had arrived. It wasn't still waiting. His statement is saying it's here. It's present, but yet it is to come. And we alluded to that some, I think, in our Sunday school this morning. Jesus has come. The war has been won with his resurrection, but the fight's not over. The enemy continues. And as I thought about that, he just doesn't want peace. He's a loser. We can say that confidently about Satan, but he doesn't want peace. The kingdom came with Jesus coming, and it hasn't left us. The Holy Spirit is with us now. You, us, are where the kingdom is because the Spirit dwells within us. So God's will is being done. There's transformation in the world. There's love, justice, restoring humanity, although the world looks ugly and we pray for peace. It is happening, just it hasn't been completed. But the day is coming. He said so. So what was Jesus saying in that long phrase? He was declaring that the long-awaited redemptive reign of God had arrived in the person of Jesus Christ. That man standing there meant the kingdom was there. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I would suggest that is good news. So what should we do about it? That's what's been said. Simple answer. Maybe listen to the king. Now, I'm going to close with a couple poems. One is a rewrite of something you'll be familiar with. God is our gracious King, eternal, noble King. God is our King. He comes victorious, happy and glorious, ever to reign over us. God is our King. And then from Isaiah, we talk about a kingdom. How lovely. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns our God reigns. That's the message. I don't know if it was a preach, but we're going to close with a song, and this was a request. We won't sing it. I suspect it's foreign to pretty well everyone here. There was a period a few years ago I was having to do exercise. I would play Spotify. And this tune kept coming up. Never heard it, but I saw the title. Trust Me, by The Wilds. And one morning, I pushed play. Well, I had to search the lyrics. And when I searched the lyrics, I'm just taken aback. And to take the story just a little further, I was asked to do a funeral for a lady, and we were talking about what would be at the end, and she once said, I want these songs played. And she had a list of 6 songs. Okay, we'll just pull them off the recordings and that. We didn't have to have musicians and that. And I went in to see her that morning, and as I talked with her, I showed her, I read the lyrics to her, and then I played the song. And her response was, add it to the list. So I leave you with, Trust Me. Meditate on it. You'll see the words.